Chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Now when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Have any magic coins? Nobody has any magic coins? I have one. Do you know what? Do you know how magic that is? Do you think if I gave it away, it would come back and find itself in my pocket? You don't think so? You know, I'm not much of a magician, am I? So that really doesn't work. A penny is just a penny, and if I spend it, it's gone. Right? Can you buy penny candy anymore? No, can't even buy penny candy. You used to be able to. But once you spend it, it's gone. But there is something that is magic that you can give away. And something that's magic that you could spend it, and it'll come right back. You know what that is? Don't know. I bet nobody out there knows either. We're going to sing a song. I'll teach it to you. I don't need all the words. It's this. You can learn the first words, and then I'll sing the verses. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you give one, you end up having more. Let's try that again. Love is something if you give it away, give it away. Hold it tight, and you won't have any. Love, lend it, spend it, and you have so many. They'll roll all over the floor. For love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. Break of day, and if there's a piper, we can pay. For love is something. spend some love?
All right.
You can have a seat, but let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, that you give us love from the very beginning. You love us even when we're bad. You love us when we're good. You love us whenever, because you give that love away free, and you ask us to do the same for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. Speaking of love, there was a cartoon, a Peanuts cartoon, in which Schroeder is playing his piano, probably playing Beethoven, you know. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, he's playing away, and Lucy is leaning over the piano and just looking him in the eye and says, "Schroeder, you know what? If you don't say you love me, I'm going to hold my breath until I pass out." Schroeder looks up from his piano and he says, "Breath holding is an interesting phenomenon that children have, and it's probably a metabolic disturbance. What you need is 40 milligrams of vitamin B6 twice a day." "Yes, that's what you need. Vitamin B6. You should probably eat more bananas and avocados and beef liver." Well, Lucy looks at him with this disgusted look on her face and says, "I ask for love, and all I get is beef liver." Well, I think that's kind of the way God is sometimes. God asks for our love, and sometimes feels like all it gets back is ugly old beef liver. Now, beef liver, I guess, is good for you. But anyway, the people of God, as we talked about last time, remember the broken disc, the broken record, where they would do what was evil. God would allow an enemy to capture them. They would cry out to the Lord. The Lord would send a judge or a military leader, and they would have a period of peace. And it doesn't end then. It's just like the broken record. It starts all over again. Over and over and over from the beginning of history. That's the pattern. People, God wants love, but instead, he gets disobedience. And vitamin B6 might help some things, but I don't think it'll help that. God is calling us to do much more. To love from the inside out, too. In the movie Avatar, if anybody has seen that movie, a corporation comes onto this planet and exploits it. And after a while, the people on that planet rebel. And they all, in force, go after the corporation. We don't have that kind of corporation, though. We don't have that kind of a planet. Instead, we all back up and say, well, you know, that's the way people are. At the time when Jeremiah is on the scene, the nation of Israel is in shambles. It is near the point of going into exile in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is kind of rattling his sabers. And Josiah, in 621 BC, has brought about some reform. And it looks hopeful. But his kids follow and just wipe all of the goodness out. And so things are really bad by that time. And it looks very hopeless. That's the point at which we find Jeremiah. Just like our Jeremiah sitting there in the back trying to hide. But think about this. He's a teenager. He's sitting up there on the roof trying to get a few Z's because he was out late with the girls last night. But he's trying to get a little sun, nice suntan for those girls too. And God comes to him and says, "Jeremiah, I want you to go speak to my people. I want you to speak my word. Jeremiah says, oh God, don't ask me to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm just a kid. Well, God says, don't tell me you're just a kid. I knew you before you were even born. I want you to go and speak my word to the people. I want to speak my word so that now my love can get through to them and their love can be returned instead of this total rebellion that keeps going on. Now, if you know the rest of the story, if you know the story of Jeremiah, if you haven't read the book of Jeremiah, please do. It's a fascinating book. There are long passages. I'll tell you that right away. That, you know, you get bored. You think, does he ever get to the point? But he does eventually. But as you read it, you realize Jeremiah has gone through all kinds of things. And when he takes God's message, people don't just receive it. They beat him. They put him in stocks and make him a laughing stock. They throw him in a well. They put him in prison. I mean, just about everything bad that could happen to a guy, this teenager has gone through. And yet, in the end, Jeremiah listens to the word of the Lord, takes it to the people, and says, this is the word of God. Listen to him. Not because he hates you, but because he loves you. Unfortunately, they don't listen. It's the broken record again. Again and again, God comes to us with his love. That's what the message of St. Paul has for us in 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives us that love chapter. Let me sing it to you. We heard it read so well today. Thank you, Matt. And some of you may know this tune too, and if you do, sing it along. Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Though I may give all I possess and strive so, my love profess, but not be given by love within. The prophet soon turns strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, that heart's control. Our spirit's long to be made whole, that inward love might every be. By this we worship and are based on 1 Corinthians 13, there's another version that I'd like to share with you. I want to read. Though I may speak stirring speeches that fly around the world on our radios, TV, networks, and internet, and have not love, I'm like a blaring brass and crashing machinery. Though our jet engines roar ever faster over continents and oceans, though we plumb the depths of the sea and tread on the face of distant moons and planets, though we perform heart transplants and discover new miracle drugs, though we program all problems and mysteries so that even our computers cannot encompass the sum of all of our information, though we do all these things and have not love, we're nothing. If the hungry of the world still starve, if the naked are not clothed, if the homeless are not sheltered, if the sick go untended or can't afford their medicine anywhere in the world, if the old are forgotten and the children die, it's all in vain. Because without love, all our knowledge, all our technology, all our power have absolutely no worth. And we live in deepest darkness. Before you were born, God chose you. Even in your mother's womb, He chose you to love one another as He has loved you. That's another reading of the 13th chapter. When Jesus goes to Nazareth, his hometown, all the people love him. I mean, he's a hometown boy. When I go back to Stanton, Nebraska, St. Luke's Lutheran Church there, man, I get a good reception. But just like the people in Nazareth, the people in my home church don't like always to hear those words. Because that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying to them, you know, it's nice that you like me, but remember something. When Elijah came on the scene, who did he go to? There had been a drought in the land for 3.5 years. But the only person he went to was a widow in Sidon. She's a woman. She's a widow. She's destitute. She has nothing except enough meal and enough oil to make a cake for her son and her so that they can eat it and die. She's a nobody, a nothing. And yet, this is the one, this pagan woman from a foreign country, is the one to whom God sent Elijah. Wow, why didn't he come to us, huh? That's what they're saying. And he said, Elisha, there were lots of lepers in Israel. But who was the one God chose to heal? A pagan by the name of Naaman from Syria, a foreigner. No wonder they chased him out of the temple. Because, you see, love. And as you probably know, in Greek there are several words for love. One is brotherly love, another one is family love, another one is erotic love. But the one that's used in 1 Corinthians 13 and the one that Jesus uses all the time is the word agape. Agape is other-centered love. Not what's in it for me. The brotherly love or the sexual love or whatever love it might feel like. But what's in it for you? What do you need? That's agape love. God so agape loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gift that he gives to us. So anytime you hear the word love, ask yourself, is this really love that's centered on what the other person needs, or is it just a selfish love? God calls us to love eternally with an agape love that centers on him. So that when he says to you today, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you. Think about that. Love is like that magic penny. You can lend it, you can spend it, you can give it away, but it's going to come back in multitudes. May we learn the lesson that Jesus tries to teach us about the power of that love. Amen.
Amen.